Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Okay, open to the book of Hosea. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. The Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand of the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land. For great will be the day of Jezreel." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Some of you are young, and some of you who are young wonder about finding the right mate. Will God bring into my life somebody who will love me, understand me, care for me, be loyal to me? I've seen good marriages and I've seen bad marriages, and I want a good marriage. And then there's the case of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God whose ministry spanned several kings. I mean, he had a long ministry. Year after year, the Lord spoke to him and through him. Yet what he's remembered for is the way that God caused him to live a life that dramatized the central issue of his time. God said, "I want you to marry an adulteress." What? The law that God gave for the priests in Israel was that they were to marry a virgin. They were to marry someone who would be faithful and had proved herself faithful prior to marriage. Someone who valued sexual purity. That was the law for the priests in Israel. It was also possible for a priest to marry the widow of another priest. But apart from that, the priests were very restricted in whom they could marry because they were to be a picture of holiness, purity, righteousness. Hosea is not told, hey pal, you need to know before you get married, your wife may cheat on you. God assigns him the responsibility of finding somebody who's a cheater and marrying her. Now suppose one of my kids came to me and said, Dad, I feel called by God to marry an adulteress. What do you think I'd think? I'd say, you're nuts. That's crazy. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. There is no way that God would ask you to do that. God values holiness, purity, faithfulness, steadfastness. You're to look for somebody who's going to help you model the way things are supposed to be. Don't marry somebody you know is going to cheat on you. Don't do that. If, like one of the other prophets, my son were to come to me and say, listen, just wanted to give you a heads up because I know that's going to be in the newspapers and all once I start doing what God's told me to do. The Lord has told me to take off all my clothes in public and lie on my side and cook my meals over poop. I'd say, son, let's go for a drive. And we would get in a car and go to a hospital and I would do everything I could to have my son committed. Because there's no way in the world that God would call one of his servants to strip naked in front of all the people of the city and lie down on their side and cook their meals over poop. I mean, there's just no way. Except that we already have a record in the Bible where God did that. Because God wanted to warn the people that they were in for major judgment. And that they better get used to nakedness, and not as a way of being immodest, but simply because they would be absolutely destitute, persecuted, and ashamed. And that they were going to be starving. And that they wouldn't even have fuel except when they go out and gather up dung to cook over. God, on occasion, has called some people that he loves very much to do things that the rest of us would say, I don't think so. God, on occasion, calls his servants to demonstrate in extraordinary ways a message that doesn't seem to be getting through to the people. And that's one reason that I want to be very careful about just condemning out of hand folks who do things that seem to me to be untoward, inappropriate, etc. I'm not at all sure that I would have gotten along with Jesus. Know what I mean? Because I would have wanted to advise him on how to get along better with the power structures of his day. I would have wanted to commend him for many of his good qualities. And I can picture myself, not unlike Nicodemus, saying to him, we know that you have to be sent from God because there's no other explanation for the things that you're doing. Clearly, God's hand is on your life and you're being used by God in a wonderful way. That's good. We're all for that. You know, we're about God. But, see, I know these guys on the Sanhedrin. And this business of, like, well, it's been rumored that you walk through grain fields even on the Sabbath and allow your disciples to pull some of the heads of grain and rub them in their hand and pop the grain in their mouth. That's harvesting, okay? And you could even consider rubbing it in your hand, threshing, and you're not allowed to do that on the Sabbath, okay? And we hear that on one occasion, you told a guy to pick up his bed and carry it on the Sabbath. Now that, I'm sorry, but that is completely forbidden. That's work. And you know that God says we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Furthermore, you spit on the ground and made mud on a Sabbath day in order to put it on somebody's eye. we specifically prohibit spitting on the ground on the Sabbath. Because you could inadvertently water a seed. This would be irrigation, which is farming. That's work, and you cannot do that on the Sabbath. Jesus, you know that, I'm sure. You don't wash your hands the way you're supposed to. It's not hard. It won't take a lot of time. If you look at what Jesus does, he does exactly what the Father tells him to do. And we need to understand that Hosea did exactly what the Lord told him to do when he married Gomer. I would have said, don't do it. It's a mistake. But I want you to notice something. The Lord said to him, go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness. Did you hear that? The Lord said to him, do this. He did what God told him to do. Folks, as tough as this man's life was, and it was tough, you cannot do better than to obey God. But if you're going to obey God, you have to listen to God, and you have to practice doing what he says. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. In other words, what you're going to do is illustrate what's going on in society. And that is, my people who are supposed to belong to me are cheating on me. The people of Israel are supposed to be my people, but they worship other gods. They don't depend on me. They depend on political alliances. They don't follow my decrees. They do what they want to do. They have their own agenda. And I want you to show how bad that is by going through something that is really painful.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out
and
my
so,
name and they laugh at me.
He did what God said. And God not only told him what kind of woman to marry, but told him what to name his sons. She conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said, call him Jezreel, because I'll soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I'll put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I'll break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Do you understand what this comes down to? They sent out a birth announcement, and the birth announcement was a little like saying, what are you naming your child? 911. You're in trouble. Disaster is coming. You're going to be destroyed. You're naming your son, you're going to be destroyed? Yep, that's what we're naming him. Why would you do that? Because God says you're going to be destroyed. His name, Jezreel, was a reminder to them of guilt and a foreshadowing of the fact that destruction was coming. She conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. What are you going to call her? Not loved. How'd you like to grow up with that name? Wonder what Christian psychologists would say about this. You can't name your child not loved unless you nickname her loved or love or lovey. I don't know what they called her around the house, but I'll tell you what her name was. Her name was not loved. And the reason was because God said, I'm withdrawing my love from Israel. Well, that doesn't fit very well with my image of God. Well, then you're an idolater. You need to repent. You see, that was the problem with these people. They were idolaters. They were people who wanted to make God into what they wanted God to be, instead of people who would worship the God who is God and do what he commands. Hosea worshiped the God who is God, did what God commanded, and the result was something that was sure to be misunderstood by most people. But it was still the right thing to do. Because we can't base our behaviors on popular opinion, current trends, market research. There are some enormous ecclesiastical institutions among so-called evangelicals in the United States right now. And I am continually bombarded with opportunities to go and learn how to grow a mega church from people whose theology is often completely unbiblical, and they don't seem to care because they're not on a quest to discover what Scripture says. They are busy doing market research. And they have found what works at building shopping center-sized churches. Well, after all, shouldn't we compete with the temples of Mammon by having our own temples of Mammon? We're going to have these enormous institutions. And if the best compliment somebody can give your church is to say, oh, it's awesome. Inside, it's like a mall. Maybe we've kind of forgotten what church is about. You think? Could you have a really godly church with escalators and a coffee shop? Sure, no problem. But if you think that's the epitome of success, you've completely missed it. I had a friend in ministry who really believed that you could not have a healthy church that was larger than 150 people. He believed this, and he came from a position as senior staff in a church of thousands. And he had walked away from it, repudiated it, and adopted a small church model that he was teaching around the globe. I think he's wrong. I think he's just flat wrong. And I base that on the New Testament, where God saw fit to save a whole lot more people than that at one time, and then task the church with the responsibility of shepherding those folks. And they had to develop a model that worked. And I think they did. It's not about size. It's not about architecture. It's not about aesthetics. It's about whether or not you're seeking God, eager to do whatever he says, or you're seeking popularity and big numbers and large budgets, because we've got to find out what these people want and give it to them. And when Christianity in America becomes indistinguishable from consumerism in America, we are in serious trouble as a church. Hosea named his daughter not loved because God said so. I would say that is not okay, bud. I'd be wrong. He was right. God's the one who chose the name. You know why? Because it was true. I was talking to someone the other day who had to go to the doctor. I said, are you going to have this test? He said, oh, I hope not. I said, have you ever had that test performed? He said, no. I said, I would think at your age your doctor would have ordered it. He said, well, there's some things I'd just rather not know. You know, I'm sorry. That is a widespread attitude. How's your blood pressure? I don't even check it anymore. Used to be really high. I've just quit checking. Oh, well, I'm sure that's improved things a lot. How's your cholesterol? I can't stand needles. Can I supersize that, please? We often turn away from the truth. God raised up Hosea, had him marry Gomer, and name his child not loved as a way of saying, bap, 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 bap. God gave this child a name that was a rebuke and a warning to people who thought of themselves as God's people. Let me tell you something. The love of God is not something you're supposed to presume upon.
Well, I thought God loved everybody. You know, that's what my Bible says. God so loved the world.
I mean, Jesus came because God loves us. Yes, that's right. He did. And whoever does not accept the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. John chapter 3, same chapter. God said, call her Lo Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Do you hear that? If you and I do not recognize the reality of God's judgment, if we do not recognize that it is possible to be cut off, then we are calling God a liar. Because from Genesis to Revelation, God not only says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He also says, those who refuse to come will be destroyed. And you can't embrace one promise and reject the other, or you'll be rejected yourself. God says, I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God. God says, I'm going to be their Savior. I'm going to do it myself. It's not going to be circumstantial. It's not going to be political. It's not going to be military. I will intervene and rescue my people. And after she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. And the Lord said, call him Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. That's what Lo Ami means, not my people. And the way that that phrase is constructed, the suggestion is that Hosea knew that child was not his child. He was not the father. What are you going to call this one, Hosea? Not mine. What? Are you saying you're not going to name him? No, I'm saying his name is not mine. He's not my child. He's not my people. Hosea, what a bad dad. I mean, we were scandalized when you called your daughter not loved. Now you're rejecting your son? He says, it's not mine. It's not my son. Well, even if he's not, don't you think you ought to call him Sonny Boy or something? Hosea said, I'm not making this stuff up. God is the one who tells me what to do, and I do what he tells me. Folks, you and I need to learn a lesson from Hosea. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.